Good morning. This is CKCU Literary News. I am Hans-George Ruprecht. Well, what an event it was on June 9th, 2014, that Scandinavian Crime Fiction Night at the Ottawa Public Library, Main Branch, where three famous authors from Scandinavian countries were presenting their new books, that is, Pierced by the internationally acclaimed Thomas Enger from Norway, who is the author of the Henning Juhl series, including titles such as Brünnt, Bloodtake, and Pierced. And some of you may have read Thomas Enger's riveting The Evil Legacy, published in 2013, which got absolutely rave reviews. And the other high-profile Scandinavian crime fiction writer who was in town is Jacob Melander from Denmark, presenting his new novel, The House That Jack Built, translated by Paul Russell Garrett, and now available in Canada at House of Anansi. Jacob Melander's new novel, which is in fact the first book of his own crime fiction series, is featuring Lars Winkler, a very peculiar, unique detective character in Copenhagen. And as folks in Jacob Melander's town know, this truly amazing representative of snow noir fiction, as Scandinavian crime fiction has also been called, is a rock musician as a bass player and guitarist in various bands. Then there was in town Dan T. Silberg, a Swedish crime fiction writer, presenting his novel Mona. Dan T. Silberg is an entrepreneur holding an MBA, but he is also an artist in his own right, just like his colleague from Denmark. He is a musician with a strong background in classical music as a pianist, and he is also known as a composer of film music and other multimedia projects. Dan Silberg's novel Mona is a techno-thriller with a narrative that is leading us deep into the secrets of the Middle East. Without giving too much away, the author lets us know on his very interesting homepage that his novel Mona deals with, and I quote, "the most sophisticated computer virus the world has ever seen that had been set loose," quote, "for the purpose of a cyber attack against Israel's financial system," end of quote. And as I also found out on Dan T. Silberg's homepage, there will be a sequel to his novel Mona, to be published this year under the title Sinon. The day after the Scandinavian Crime Fiction Night at the Public Library Main Branch in Ottawa, I have had the great privilege of talking again to Jacob Melander, Thomas Enger, and Dan T. Silberg at the residence of His Excellency the Ambassador of Sweden. In fact, I should like to extend my profound gratitude to Ambassador Teppo Taurainen for inviting me to his personal library for doing the following interview. Thomas Enger from Norway, Jacob Melander from Denmark, and Dan T. Silberg from Sweden, I am delighted to have you on our show. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Isn't that sure? Yeah. Can
you
tell us about Scandinavian?
It's good.
Ah,
okay. Så att då faller ju en del av poängen.
Men det kan vara när du går på det i Oslo. Är det hela Norge eller är det kun i Oslo?
Nej, det, jag tror det är kun i Oslo. Det är därför där det är störst behov för det.
So I'm just amazed because you seem to speak the same language, but you are not speaking the same languages. So what we last heard was Swedish, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And then we heard Norwegian, and then we heard Danish, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, let me start with a proviso. Suppose that all the soccer players now going to the World Cup were professional crime fiction writers. My hunch is that the Scandinavian team would be the winner because, according to the London Times, 4 of your colleagues are among the 50 best internationally known crime fiction writers. How come? What is your secret? Why are you guys so good? Jacob, would you like to start?
Yeah.
Jacob Melander,
huh? I think there are several reasons. One, of course, is that it's a fashion, right? Now there are, with Stieg Larsson and Jon Esbjerg, there are a lot of people coming from Scandinavia, then there's a focus there. Then, of course, with the focus there, you'll discover more. And then in 10 years or 5 years or whenever, maybe tomorrow, it'll shift and it'll be the Netherlands or Chinese crime fiction, I don't know, but something else will come on. And then, of course, also because we are seen or perceived as very safe, beautiful, rich countries, then it's interesting to see that there are the dark side as well. There's violence and there's, well, all the crime that you have all everywhere else as well.
Okay, now let's say, Thomas Enger, what is your take on this issue?
I think that Norway would beat Sweden and Denmark, of course, in the World Cup. No, I'm just kidding. I agree with Jacob. I think there are many reasons for our popularity. Like Jacob said, it is popular. It has become sort of a brand, kind of like champagne in France. And for me, I think the main reason is that people look upon Scandinavia as this beautiful, rich part of the world, and there shouldn't really be any reasons for evil to take place. But still it does, and we kind of explore that in our novels, and I think that kind of stories appeal to people.
Mm-hmm. Dante Silberg, your novel is of a different nature. It's in a contemporary setting. We call it a science technology thriller, you know. How do you see that issue?
Yeah, first of all, I can try to also give my perspective on the first question.
Yes.
I think that there's a couple of things that comes to mind. We have light 2 months a year, approximately, and then it goes dark for 10 months. And there's a lot of things happening in that darkness. And darkness does things to people. They tend to turn inwards and obviously anxiety, a lot of things starts to happen. And with that, unfortunately for some, unfortunately for others, there also comes crime. So, and that's interesting. And another thing is the history of storytelling in Scandinavia that goes all the way back to the Vikings, actually. And I would say the third thing is that we have a very big demand in Scandinavia also for crime fiction. Mm. There is a very, very high interest from the reading perspective. So a lot of people are asking for this kind of literature, and then obviously that demand is
There seems to be a paradox, right? One of the most advanced societies in the Western world, definitely, envied by many Canadians, any Scandinavian country. Now, as authors, do you appeal to me as a reader to my unconscious, or are you working with these powers, let's say desire, Freud speaks of the death drive, right? Is this part of the creative process for you? Maybe perhaps Jacob Melander from...
A death wish, we all have it. And it's also connected to sexuality as well, which is part of the dark sides, or the suppressed sides maybe, in the self and in literature as well. For me, at least, that becomes interesting. Also, if you try to repress it, I talked yesterday about a poster we had in Copenhagen for tourism with a policeman holding back traffic to let a dog with her ducklings pass the street, and everybody was smiling. And that's how we like to see ourselves. But of course, that's
That's a picture we like to paint, but underneath all the dark things, they flourish. And that's interesting to look into. In Büchner's play, Wojciech, there's a line saying, man is an abyss. You get dizzy when you look down into it.
Right.
And, well, that's interesting.
Thomas Engel.
I think that people are drawn to what they fear in a way. They like to be frightened. I certainly do. I like to watch movies that really scare me, and then I can shut off the TV and think to myself, "Oh, I'm glad that didn't happen to me." Our books, TV shows, films—they all offer some sort of escape from our lives, and I think that is appealing to people.
Mm-hmm. Dante Silberg.
Yes, I could. I totally agree, and I could say that a good novel, in a way, should be like a roller coaster. You get on, you pay your ticket, and you get on, and you will get really scared, and you will scream, and you will have all these emotions. But you know that it's just gonna be for a certain time, and you know that you're on a safe ride, even though it's very scary for some time. So you will eventually, it will be over. You will be exhausted, but you know it would have been a fun ride, and that's like a good novel, right?
Absolutely.
Jacob Melander.
Nietzsche says in the Birth of Tragedy that existence is very hard and it's gruesome and brutal, and the only way we can look into that is through the beauty of art. Then we can stand looking into it and see the true nature of human existence. Because if we were to look on it by itself, without this this shine in front of it, we would be mad.
Right.
And that's it's a safe place to watch all these dark sides, the other side of the existence.
Now, crime and punishment. Of course, Dostoevsky, in all your works, there is Mona by Tonti Silberg, The House That Jack Built by Jacob Melander, and Piers by Thomas Enger. And maybe we should go through each of you. Does the issue of punishing the villain matter to you? Maybe we start perhaps with Tom Engers. Is punishment for you a problem which needs to be addressed as a crime fiction writer? Also, given the possibility, as already sketched by Dostoevsky, that his hero, Raskolnikov, is a mentally ill person.
I think that in all novels, at least crime fiction novels, you have to sort of set the record straight in a way. You have to punish the people who have done something wrong. You have to restore order. And that is necessary. I think people would be really disappointed if that didn't happen in a crime fiction novel. But you know, in real life, that's not always the case. And sometimes you have to, as an author, you have to try to write what's real, at least what's close to real. So,
in your novel, then, how would you?
Well, in my first novel, the person who committed the murders actually. I'm not going to give too much away, that person is very close to getting away with it, and I'm also toying with the reader a little bit towards the end, if that person actually is caught or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, punishment.
Yes,
Dante. So.
I think that's a very interesting question, and. Obviously, I would say in my novel, punishment is very much there. I think the hardest punishment probably is what the people are delivering upon themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are these are people who have lost something that they were very close to them, or they're avenging something, or they're trying to save someone, and they're full of all these doubts about their kind of what they're doing, and this floating line between the hero and the villain in a way. So I think that those two emotions goes very, very hand in hand, As in real life, and we punish ourselves when we made the wrong decisions. We can't make things undone, so we have to kind of accept the fact that we may have done a terrible mistake that will have gruesome consequences, and how we deal with that anxiety and the feelings. And so I think that's in the mental mind very interesting for an author to explore.
Jacob and Ananda, how did it work in your novel? You know, I think you are perhaps the closest to this obsessive and maybe very dangerous part of our existence.
Yeah, well, my killer in my novel is a serial killer, and most of those portrayed in literature and films are sociopaths. They know exactly what they're doing, and they are playing upon other people's feeling and how they react to reality. My killer is a psychopath. That means he can't distinguish between his own perception of reality and the reality outside him. He feels that the house he's living in, the house that Jack built, is part of his body, of his nervous system, his bloodstreams and stuff like that. But regarding punishment, I think that that's also, there's a desire for the reader when you read for the novel to fulfill itself. So I'm not saying that you have to punish the bad guy, but it gives a great satisfaction at the end if there is a kind of punishment. Like Thomas, I don't want to give too much away.
No.
But I try to work with the tragic dimension in my killer as well, with his motivation for doing what he does, and because he is not in the real sane world, what he does to him is quite normal, and he's just, what he wants is family and love.
Mm-hmm. Well, does it raise in all of you an ethical question? Ethics as the frontier of your thought process, insofar as you may ask yourself, addressing the villain, did you have a choice, or was this done for a cause about which we could talk, which one could perhaps not defend, but which is after all debatable? Any this one? Dante Silberg?
I can start. I will say that in this, I will say different bad guys, if you will call them villains, in my book, but one of the main characters that's this kind of launching this terrible computer virus and that's going to have very dreadful effects upon on the Western world, he is a person that you could, I think, really relate to. And he's avenging his daughter that's been gruesomely killed. And I think that as a father, you could really relate to that. You could understand. And I can feel, when I was writing, I could really feel the choices that he did. I can understand them. I think that was important to give him life.
Yes. Thomas Enger.
Yeah, and I think every author has to sort of try to imagine what it's like to be in the killer's shoes. We don't necessarily have to agree with them, but we have to try to, in some way, sympathize with them to be able to understand their actions.
Right. Jacob Melander?
That's true. I mean, for it to work, it's easy to make a killer that's just debased and dehumanized, and who's out there and is not in our own frame, nothing we could do. But he or she only becomes really scary if we can feel his choices and say, at some point, we would have done the same.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, let me remind our listeners, our readers, and recommend your books. They have been translated, of course, and are available now in Canada. All of you.
Dan and I are in House of Anansi, and you're in Summer in Chester, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, once again, it's Thomas Enger with a best-selling novel in the series Hanging Jewel under the title Pierced. Where is it available?
Yes, it is, and it's the second book in the series that I'm writing. I'm going to write 5 books in this series. And,
right. And it's available at?
Simon & Schuster is the publisher, and I think they've distributed books all over the country. Hopefully they have.
Fantastic, fantastic. Then we have then Mona, the first novel, this techno-thriller by Dan Tilsilberg from Sweden. Where did it appear?
It's available all over Canada right now. So,
very good, excellent. And then Jakob Melander from Denmark. Your title is The House That Jack Built. Where it's an answer,
right? It's House of Anansi, that's right. And it will be published on the 5th of July. So in a month's time it will be available.
Wonderful.
And hopefully everywhere as well.
Well, thank you very much for doing this, and I wish you a good trip home. I guess you're leaving now today, and please come back. See?
We will. We'd love to.
Thank you to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was CKCU Literary News, a regular program about literatures in Europe today, brought to you by CKCU FM 93.1, the community-based campus radio of Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada. We can be heard worldwide. Simply go to http://litnews/ for streaming and podcast. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter under CKCU Lit News in one word. Thanks for listening.